Writers of Legacy, where you are writing your legacy every day that you live. We're so thankful to have, well, I'd say more honored than thankful, a person that's really dedicated their life to protecting and serving, hint, hint, the public in where exactly?
Wood County, Ohio.
Wood County, Ohio, which covers what?
Well, it's the seventh largest county in the state of Ohio, uh-huh. 620 square miles.
Yeah.
There are five cities, which I can list off for you, 21 villages and 19 townships.
Oh, my goodness.
I won't name all those for you, but I can do the five cities.
I don't think people appreciate how big Wood County is.
It is big. So basically, Bowling Green's the county seat,
mm-hmm.
largest city. If you didn't count the university, it would not be the largest city.
Mm-hmm.
The second largest is Perrysburg.
Perrysburg, uh-huh.
And then Rossford.
Uh-huh.
Northwood, and then we have a piece of Faustoria.
Oh, really?
So basically from the river, if you're crossing I-75, mm-hmm. just get past the casino, to North Baltimore. And North Baltimore's in the village when
wow.
you're going towards Findlay. So
wow.
Yeah, it's a big area. 620 square miles is a lot.
I didn't know you went all the way to Faustoria. We used to have a church in the Faustoria area and Findlay.
We have a piece of Faustoria. Just when you come in on 199 and 23, there's kind of a triangle where 199 and 23 come in. Generally speaking, that's in Wood County, that piece. I feel bad for Faustoria because they're part of three counties. So they're kind of the lost bastard child of three counties because they're in Wood County, where the smallest piece. Hancock County is the next largest mm-hmm. piece, and then the bigger chunk is in Seneca County.
And that is the voice of Mr. Mark Vasilishin, the sheriff of Wood County, Ohio. Oh, man, that's a huge area that you have to cover.
Yes.
That has to be a challenge, but we're here to talk about you. So tell us something about yourself.
Well, something that a lot of people don't realize is that I am a first-generation American. My father immigrated here
oh, wow.
in 1948 as a displaced person from Ukraine.
Oh, my goodness.
And my mother's parents came over from the Ukraine during the Industrial Revolution in the 1920s. So I actually spoke Ukrainian before I spoke English. So
wow.
that's a little trivia. I was born here.
Oh,
so,
you were born
yeah,
here.
I was born. My father immigrated here in 1948.
Okay.
Before I'm not quite that old yet.
Okay.
I was not born in 48. I may look that way, but I was born in 61. So a little bit after.
So
that.
You picked it up at
yes.
home.
But my father's yeah. rule at home. We spoke. He wanted to continue the culture and the legacy. You know, it was very
yeah.
very important to my father.
Yeah.
And so it was important to him that we always spoke Ukrainian in the house. Now outside the house, that was a different story. But at home, he wanted us to always speak Ukrainian.
So with that being said, being first generation, how does that affect the acclimation here? I mean, they had to acclimate here.
My father had an accent. And
but you were raised here.
I was raised here, so it was easy for me.
Yeah.
It was a whole different world versus my father and his family that lost everything
yeah.
To Russia,
yeah.
the Soviet Union. They lost everything they had
wow.
and came over here. Basically, I have in my basement, I proudly display a trunk that was basically all his belongings that he had when he came here and he was 28 years old,
wow.
was in that trunk. And I've often thought, I can't imagine being 28 years old and everything I own is in his trunk.
Wow.
So I give him a lot of credit. He was a physician. He went to medical school in Austria, which was at the time one of the top medical schools in the world, and graduated top of his class because back then they were looking for reasons to not have Ukrainians and other people in medical school. So you had to do well so you didn't get bumped out.
Did
so,
he practice here?
He did. He was a urologist
in
Toledo. Yeah, surgeon. And
wow.
The doctors went to all the hospitals. So
gotcha.
he would go to all the hospitals.
And you're speaking in past, and so he's
he
gone.
Passed away in 1980 when I was 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So it's been a while.
Yes, it's been a while.
But it sounds like he really affected you.
Absolutely. And my mother's still alive. She's 94, lives in
awesome.
Perrysburg. Yes. Yeah. And
awesome.
She's still my mother. So if anything happens, she's always, you know, Mark, you know, she's not afraid to remind me of things. So, for example, anytime there's an article in the paper about someone mismanaging money that was government money, mm-hmm. she'll, you know, Mark, you always have to watch your people. You have to
yeah.
watch this. This is not your money.
Yeah.
And she's absolutely correct. So she's not afraid
Keeps
to still be
your,
my mother at 94. Absolutely.
On your P's and Q's and
yes.
such. So that upbringing, did it affect you in a way that would lead you to your career in law enforcement? And have you always been in law enforcement?
I graduated from Rossford High School, grew up in Rossford.
Okay.
And then I went to Hillsdale College and graduated
oh.
there with a Bachelor of Arts degree.
Awesome.
Had a great experience there. And when I got out in 1983, there was a recession going on because I wanted to go in like an industrial sales or mm-hmm. something. It was kind of in my mind what I wanted to do. And at that time, there were major hiring freezes because at that time was the worst recession we had since the Great Depression, if I remember correctly. And so I actually had a neighbor that was into rental properties, and he convinced me to buy, you know, buy some rental property, be my own boss.
Yeah.
And I did that, and I really enjoyed it. I had rental properties in the in Toledo, and I kind of specialized in low-income housing, and I worked very closely with LMHA. Had a good reputation with them.
That's
and really enjoyed dealing with that. And I had a friend of mine, I growing up in Rossford, I hung out with the Rossford police officers and still friends with they're all retired now. But I used to ride with them. Actually, back then, liabilities weren't issues, and it was small towns. So starting in junior high, I used to ride with them. I was just always intrigued about what they did and did that through high school. So the chief, when I'm going around, he's going, man, you're running around Toledo collecting rent, and you've got, you know, hundreds of dollars. You know, somebody's going to knock you off. He goes, why don't you go to the – and he knew I liked law enforcement. So he said, why don't you go to the police academy? And even if you don't do it as a job, you know,
part-time.
At the time, do it part-time or something. And that way you can legally – this is before CCW – you can legally carry a gun and protect yourself when you're doing this. And I said, that's great. Well, I went to the police academy, and I liked it even more. So then I
pursued it.
And I haven't looked back.
So it wasn't a plan.
It was not the plan, no, because I really wanted to go into business. I'm not sure I wanted to do that, but I'm really glad I did. And and life takes us down different paths that a lot of times we just have to take advantage of the situations and things, doors open. And the big question, do you go through that door? And what happens when you go through that door? And I'm glad I went through that door and started off part-time with Perrysburg Township Police. And then I liked it so much that I decided I wanted to go full time. So I took tests for Toledo and a lot, you know, Perrysburg and some others. And I was fortunate that I was in the process for Toledo. And then Perrysburg Township did have an opening for full time, and Perrysburg City had an opening for full time. And with consulting with a lot of friends of mine at the time, they strongly encouraged me to go to Perrysburg. And I'm really glad I did, because I was kind of the new young guy on a department that most of the other people there a lot longer. So I was really active and wanted to do a lot of things. So the timing was good. It was really good.
So this was in the early
2000s? 1990. I started in September of 1990 with Perrysburg. And Perrysburg had a lot of money for training. So I had a lot of very good trainings that I was sent to on
that
a regular basis.
Kind of early in the growth that we see now.
Yes. Perrysburg was much, much smaller, but it was really the beginning of the growth. Actually, at that time, the only thing east of I-75 was Lakeview Apartments, and I think the Burger King and on the other side of the expressway. And the jurisdiction ended at Echo Junction and 25, so it didn't even go where the ProMedica is now.
We just had Mayor Weber. Recently,
and talking. He hasn't been mayor for 21 years, and he beat me on the show, and I've been chair for 21. So I'm jealous, but I'll get over it.
But the change has been amazing.
Yes,
amazing. It used to be a place where, because I grew up here in Toledo up until I was like 16. Where you would go if you wanted to do something, if you lived in Toledo. If you didn't want to go to Detroit, you went down south.
Dixie Electric and Buttons and Billy.
And the growth has been immense. How does that affect what you do in the sheriff's department?
Well, the sheriff's office, we handle all the 911, virtually all the 911 calls come to my office.
Okay.
And then we do the initial dispatch for everyone. So, yeah, we're busy because of that. I'm a resource for Perrysburg because I have like a special response team. I have negotiators. They have negotiators. But some of their officers are on my team. So if we have any call-outs, we have a great working relationship. And, of course, we serve papers, you know, everything from temporary protection orders, civil protection orders, all the common police court paperwork. So we're in Perrysburg. Yeah, we've been served.
Yeah.
But have a great relationship there. Again, I was there with Perrysburg for a little over 14 years, and I left when I got elected sheriff. I was a sergeant. So great, great memories with Perrysburg. Very positive experience.
We've already kind of transitioned from the U to what
I'm sorry. I can't help it because I am what I
yeah,
you know,
well, and that's good because a question I think a lot of people don't understand, and I'll preference that I used to be in law enforcement myself down south. How does the sheriff's department interact with the local PD in those townships and cities that you mentioned?
Sure. I look at myself. First of all, I and my deputies have full jurisdiction throughout the county. A lot of people don't realize that we're the only country in the world that elects the chief law enforcement officer. No other country does that. So I work for the 137,200 people that live in Wood County. They are my boss. Mm-hmm. My section 311.07 of the Ohio Revised Code mm-hmm. dictates what my duties and responsibilities are. Because, again, I don't have a boss to say, hey, can I take Tuesday off, or how do you want me to handle this? The Ohio Revised Code dictates what my duties and responsibilities mm-hmm. are. And the very first thing it says, which is like a dictionary, the most important thing is first, it says to preserve the peace. Mm-hmm. So my job is to make sure the peace is preserved throughout the county. None of the police chiefs work for me. I'm not their boss. But if they're not doing their job, if they're not preserving the peace, I am mandated to step in and preserve that peace. Now, do I need to do that often? No. If there's an issue, someone calls me, hey, there's a problem. I've called the police and I'm doing it. Usually I call the chief and say, hey, do you know this person's upset? What's the rest of the story? Usually there is a rest of the story. But once in a while, there may be something awkward in dealing with it. So I've had different police chiefs call me and say, hey, I've got a problem. This, you know, this person's on city council and they're over my finance committee, but they're driving under suspension. I don't want my people writing them a ticket. It's going to cause problems for me. Could you happen to have a deputy take care of this? And I've done that. There's one exception with, it's public enough that I can say it. I was a relatively new sheriff when Fostoria at that time had a very dysfunctional police department and they had a serious drug problem and they weren't doing anything about it. So actually some community leaders met with me and Sheriff Heldman, who at the time was the sheriff of Hancock County and the Seneca County sheriff, and said, sheriffs, you are required to step in because our police department does not take care of business. You have to do it. And we said, we will. We agreed we have to do this, but we're limited on our resources. He goes, no, we have a foundation. We will pay for each of you to have a deputy assigned full-time to Fostoria, and we did that for about 3 years. Significantly made some major changes, and we actually had a judge at the time that was very lax, and there was enough political pressure that he stepped down, and a new judge was elected to replace him. And during that time, we worked closely with the city, and they got a new police chief, and they were doing some house cleaning.
That sounds awesome. So the people.
The people came to us. Yeah, they stepped up and said, sheriffs.
Even financially.
Even financially, which is beautiful, because we would have had to do it either way.
Yeah.
And it was great. We did a better job because the community stepped forward and actually paid a significant amount of money to have deputies there assigned.
That's an amazing story, because my experience was I was a patrol officer, is that people would assume that sheriffs can't give you tickets, can't stop you for speeding if you're in the city.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, some people have that misconception.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And that's not true.
Correct.
That's not true at all.
Correct.
I mean, I'm asking, I already know the answer.
Yes.
But that's absolutely not true.
Correct. Yeah. My deputies can do anything and everything a police officer can do. Mm. And then we do more because we do a lot of civil things that police departments don't.
And I think it comes from the administrative portion of what sheriffs are known for doing, the serving, like that's all you do, or the jailhouse.
Or they just think we do jail. There's so much, and we put on a Citizens Academy every year.
Yeah.
Just people from the public, it's a 10-week class, three hours a night for 10 weeks. And the most common thing is we had no idea all the duties and responsibilities a sheriff has. That's the consistent answer, I'm always happy to educate people. And tremendous history. We've had sheriffs going back 1,000 years, and they go back to English history, for example. Yeah. Shire Reef is where a sheriff comes from. Shire was a county in England, and they worked for the kings, and they collected taxes and enforced the laws for the king. And it was a great job because you got a percentage of the money that you collected.
Oh.
So the more taxes you collected, the more money you made. And when our founding fathers set up our country, and we have, you know, your George Washingtons, Thomas Jeffersons, Benjamin Franklin, all these people involved, they're like, hey, we need to have someone here to preserve the peace.
Yeah.
We don't want a kingdom, so we're going to make sure that the sheriff is elected. And that way he's not working for a king, he's working for the people.
So
that's really important. And George Washington's father was a sheriff, by the way.
Prior to the Constitution, we had sheriffs.
Yes, we did. And before Ohio was a state in 1788, that's why all our cars, if you look at our cruisers, they say first to serve 1788. We had sheriffs in Ohio in 1788 when Ohio was still a territory. Ebenezer Sprout was the first sheriff. And then when Ohio became a state in 1802, my understanding, there were only two people on the ballot. The governor and the sheriff were the first two that were elected in the state.
Wow.
And Thomas Jefferson is quoted to have said, the most important office you're going to elect is the sheriff. And it's true because you got to have preserve the peace. You got to have that. And that is so important to pay attention to that. Now, again, occasionally people try to erode at that, like Cuyahoga County no longer elects their sheriff. They stopped electing sheriffs in around 2008.
So
and I believe they've had 12 sheriffs since that time.
They're appointed or just
they're
hired?
Appointed, and they work for the county executive board. which have 11 bosses, and they all are telling the sheriff how to run. So literally, they've had 12 sheriffs since 2012.
Wow.
It doesn't work. So
it sounds horrible.
It is horrible. Yeah. So hopefully, they'll go back. There have been counties across our country. 98% of sheriffs are elected, by the way.
Yeah.
That 2%, they've gone from not electing, and they go, this doesn't work. We got to go back to electing.
Yeah. So was it police to citizen? Is that the program you're talking about?
It's called the Citizen Police Academy.
Oh, Citizen Police
Academy. And it's free. It's open, and we hire either they live in Wood County or work in Wood County, and they actually get a dinner out of it. I've got a local sponsor, one of the funeral homes. He buys dinner every week for all. Usually we have around 14 people, and he as a give back to the community. Buys so while during the class, because we figure if it goes from 6 to 9, people are leaving work, they don't have time to grab dinner. We encourage spouses or friends to come together. And he's like, hey, how about if I buy dinner for everybody? And that way they don't have to rush to grab something to eat on their way in. They can eat while we're doing our presentations.
Just don't have any warrants.
Just don't have any warrants. That's true. We do check to make sure they don't. But we do check.
It sounds funny. But, people will try to do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'll honestly say, per my experience, and I can't really disclose what I'm talking about, sometimes it's innocent, but... Dude, have your stuff together before you want to do a ride-along.
True.
And that's all I can say about
there
that.
There you go.
The Ignite program.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
I would love to talk about that. It's a relatively new program nationally. It was started with Sheriff Chris Swanson, who is the sheriff of Genesee County, Michigan, which is Flint, Michigan. He is a very dynamic person. I've had the pleasure of knowing him. I'm very involved with the National Sheriff's Association. Mm-hmm. And he is involved with the National Sheriff, so I've met him through that. And he is one of those very charismatic, very energetic, and you can't help but just get glued to him and every word that he says. So he started this program going, you know, I got to do more for these inmates. We have the same people coming in and out. There's got to be a change. And he realized that some of the inmates have never had any positive reinforcement in their entire life.
Yeah.
So he goes, if we can do different programming, and even if it's minor things like a safe serve program, which the health department does, which we're going to be doing that, and give them a certificate, it does a couple things. Number one, they accomplish something, and they get a certificate. And he makes a big deal. He does a beautiful job of having a graduation, and they hand out certificates. And I've been invited to his graduation. He goes all out. Banners, cake, does all kinds of things. But the idea is you get rewarded for doing positive things. And we involve people in the community, which he has done. So we've started this program, and I'm kind of going to blur in what he does, and we're following a lot of what he does, but on a smaller scale. He has a very large jail compared to ours. We have people at the Carpenters Union. They will use VR goggles, and they may do some training on how to do different work that the Carpenters Union does, which they do masonry work. I didn't realize all the stuff that they do, flooring and, Copperidge is very great. Kevin Fuller, who is the head of that in Wood County, he's been right from the very beginning, we want to be involved. Well, this does a couple things. One, they're going to learn different skills. The other thing it's going to do is the Carpenters Union is going to be there, and they're going to say, wow, this inmate is really grasping this fast. They're knowing what they're We want to maybe hire this person when they get out of jail, because we have to change what they're going back
to.
You got to change the cycle, because normally they come into jail. When they get out, where are they going to go? They're going to go exactly to where they were before, with the same friends they had before.
Same trouble.
Living same trouble they had before. Yeah. We need to change that behavior. So, number one, we're going to increase their self-esteem. Number two, we're going to teach them skills. And number three, we might be able to get them a job before they get out of jail. So the buy-in has been tremendous. Not only the Carpenters Union, we've had several other employers from the county saying, hey, we want to come in and we want to get to know your inmates. We'll do this training. We'll do that training.
Wow.
The health department's going to do the safe serve. We have an instructor that does GED classes. And I forgot, there's another class that was available. And she goes, you know what? I'll get certified to teach that, and I'll come in and teach those classes to the inmates. What Sheriff Swanson has found is that the internal problems with inmates went down significantly. Now it is in multiple states. I think we are in around 8 states right now with the Ignite. I'm not sure. Don't hold me to that one. But what I do know is we now have 5 counties in Ohio that are doing this.
Wow.
And Harvard and Brown University did a study, because the whole thing is this evidence-based? Is it working?
Is it working, yeah.
And what Harvard and Brown University found out, and the numbers vary between their two studies, but in excess of 26% reduction in recidivism.
That's considerable. 26%
in a year's time, which is
in
huge. In 1 year, 26% reduction of recidivism with those inmates coming back.
So that's going to increase year over year, because those guys talk to each other.
They talk to each other, and also it means that they've changed their behavior.
Yeah.
It made enough of a change, because people, that most people don't understand, we get the same people in and out of jail oftentimes over and over. I have one person has been, I think it's over 30 times he's been in our jail.
Oh, my God.
So if we can break that habit, we're going to make some major headway. So the taxpayers of Wood County, which, by the way, this costs next to nothing. We're using some TCAP funds, which is money that is paid to us, to the county, when we don't send people to prison. Mm-hmm. We send them in the county jail. But it also is paid for from commissary funds and the Carpenters Union. I don't pay labor for these people to come in and do this. They're volunteering their time.
Well, it's a benefit to them.
Right, benefit to them.
Yeah.
So we have a great program that is evidence-based, that is costing the taxpayer virtually nothing, but it's gaining with the taxpayer side, because when I don't have someone coming back into jail, it's one less person I'm caring for.
That's
so we save a lot of money long-term by reducing recidivism. So we're really excited about this. The other thing that's really been a positive, my deputies are extremely excited about the program. I mean, they at first were a little bit, it's one more thing we have to do, and we're gonna be, the programming. And programming takes a lot of time, because you have a lot of inmate movement and scheduling and getting things worked out. Once they went to a graduation, Sandusky County was the first one in Ohio to have the Ignite program.
Yeah.
So I sent my people to, I went to a graduation. I sent my people to a couple graduations, see how they're doing it, and meet with them. And they came back all excited. They're like, wow, we've got to do this, Sheriff. And I said, I know we do.
Well, there's not too many solutions that you get to use in this line of work that are tenable, that actually have results. That sounds like an awesome, awesome program. From what I read and how you're explaining it now, 21 years you've been in this office. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That means you've been elected how many times?
Six times.
Wow. So the people like you.
Well, I'm very blessed. Other than my first election, I was really tight when I ran the first time, and the percentages kept increasing, and consistently I've been the highest vote getter on the entire ballot. So I feel good about that, but I never take that for granted because I work for the people. I have my bosses. So I have a pass-fail test every 4 years. That's why normally sheriff's tenures are very long, because we know we have to work for the people, and we have a pass-fail test.
Mm-hmm.
Every 4 years, if I pass the test, I get to be sheriff another 4 years. I get a four-year contract.
Yeah.
If I fail that test, I'm out the door. And I never, ever forget how hard I work to get into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate the citizens of Wood County allowing me to continue being their sheriff. I love what I do, but I make sure that I'm visible and accessible, and that's why I never say no. Like someone like you calls me up, hey, will you come on my radio show? I was actually drove down to Fostoria to be on their local radio show on Monday morning. Clint Corp, that has WBGU station, does a great job. Actually, I just talked to him on the way in. Hey, will you talk on Monday morning about the weather? So, yes. So I never say no. 13 interviewed me this morning.
Yeah.
We donated a vehicle to Penna this morning.
Awesome.
And then they interviewed me about a couple other things, because that allows my bosses to see, hey, I'm not just sitting in an office somewhere, or I'm not goofing off. I'm out there in the community doing things. And I try to go to as many fairs, festivals, parades, events. Wood County Fair, I'm there all 8 days, 12 to 14 hours a day. I'm the last to leave at night. And not last, some people stay overnight. But when everything's done, that's when I leave. And that could be 11, 12 o'clock at night, doesn't matter. When things shut down, I don't leave until that happens. And that's my rule that I've had. I'm not required to do that, but that's what I do, because I think the people expect that. They want to see their sheriff. I virtually always wear the uniform, because I think people expect me to be in uniform, and it makes me more visible, accessible.
Yeah.
I drive a fully marked vehicle. Why? Because I've never had a complaint that we've got too much visibility in the community. So it's one more car as I'm running all over the place that is...
Well, you want to be visible.
You want to
be
visible.
Seen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And people come to me where they wouldn't call me with a problem, but when they see me somewhere, they'll come up, hey, Sheriff, I worried about this. A couple doors down, there's something going on. People in and out all hours of the day. Yeah, okay, yeah, I do want to know about this. Or they're going to call about a speeding complaint, or someone that runs a stop sign, or barking dog.
Yeah.
People come to me also for a lot of things that have nothing to do with the office of sheriff, but they don't know where else to go. But they know, you know what, I know the sheriff. I feel comfortable coming to Mark. I'm their sheriff. They come to me and say, hey, can you help me? I don't know who to call. I have this problem. I help tell me about it. And 99% of the time, I know who to call, and I'll make that phone call. Yeah. And
or you
and
can help. Find out.
Or find out, exactly. Yeah. Or find out.
That's awesome. So in 21 years, your greatest challenges that you've had, and maybe greatest regrets.
Greatest challenge is, especially in the beginning, was getting the mindset of the office throughout the office that we are servants and we want to be the best at everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's something constantly pushing that. And it's kind of like turning the Titanic. It takes a long time. Some states have term limits. It took me 3 terms, I think, to really get things going
Turn the
direction
ship,
we want to go.
Yeah.
And what I always look at, it's very difficult to grade different, you know, how are we doing in different aspects, but there are some matrices we can look at. For example, the Bureau of Adult Detention inspects every jail in the state of Ohio. There are 90 jails in the state of Ohio. Many of the jails never pass the inspection. And we happen to be in a county that nothing against Mike Navarre, but that jail is a really bad, you know, it's because the county's not building a new jail as they should. That jail does not pass the inspection. We not only have passed the Bureau of Adult Detention Inspection, all 21 years I've been sheriff, we have gotten 100% on that inspection all 21 years.
Wow.
And we are the only jail in the state of Ohio to do that. And the inspectors, when they came in November to do the inspection, there were 4 inspectors. They told my jail administrator and lieutenants, they said, we are the best jail in the state of Ohio by far. They mentioned another county. They said, that's number 2, but they said it's a distant number 2. Why is that? Because I've got deputies that are committed to make that jail the best it can possibly be. That jail, you could eat off the floor. It looks clean, smells clean, because it is clean.
I haven't been on the inside.
I will give you a tour.
But from the outside, it does look at everything that you said.
It's important. You got to have a good look good on the inside, but more importantly, on the inside is more important than the outside.
Yeah.
But the outside looks good, to which we use inmates to do a lot of the work on the outside.
Well, they do an awesome job.
Yes, they do an awesome job. But I would love to give you a tour, and we give a lot of tours. Mm-hmm. Actually, we do a Bowling Green. I just had a staff meeting yesterday. I think we have 6 tours scheduled with BGSU students, to whether it's criminology, different programs. And the students are always amazed, like, wow, this is not what we thought a jail was. So that, by all matrices, is doing very well. And we're always striving to be better. Even though we may be the best in the state, we still do the Ignite program. Why? Because we want to be better. I'm never satisfied. And I told, you know, I remind my staff, we can always be better. You strive for perfection, and you end up with excellence. Our dispatch center, we have done some major work there. And we've taken on dispatching for many entities. Actually, this fall, we took on the city of Northwood, saving them significant money. Mm-hmm. And we are giving them top-notch dispatchers. I've got 2-3 other entities talking to me right now about taking over their dispatching, not only because they're going to save a lot of money, but they know my dispatchers are the best. They are outstanding. And the state that checks, one of the things they look at is, how long does it take your dispatcher to answer a 911 call? Mm-hmm. There are 2 things they look at. How many calls are answered within 15 seconds and how many answer within 20? Because beyond 20, they say that gets serious. 99.999% of our 48,000 911 calls we get a year are answered in less than 15 seconds.
Wow.
The remaining 1,000th of a percent is answered within the 20 seconds.
Wow.
I've been told that that's...
In a county serving how many thousand?
137,200.
Wow.
So we're really proud of that. So the state has told us you're at the highest matrix by being at that level. And I get compliments. We dispatch for 26 fire departments, 12 police departments. I just talked to a mayor of one of the entities, and he goes, I'm hearing nothing but positive about your dispatching. But again, my dispatchers are also servants. All of my people, I remind them, you work for whoever. You know, when I've got 132,700 bosses. My bosses are going to call you with different things, so always treat them with respect. And we talk about tickets. I tell my road deputies, I don't care who you cite. You want to cite the governor for speeding through Wood County, I don't care. Just treat him with respect.
Yeah.
That's the number one rule.
Awesome.
Treat everyone with respect.
In Ohio, all of the sheriff's vehicles, from top to bottom, look identical.
Yes. It's supposed to, as are the uniforms. Actually, it's funny you mentioned this. I'm president.
Not in every state.
Not in every. We're the only one of the only states I know of. I happen to be president of the Uniform Car Marking Commission, appointed by the governor. So there are actually 3 sheriffs that are on this.
Who's supposed to be on the show in March, by the way, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. So the governor, DeWine, appointed me on this commission. So I just got appointed last fall, and we go over the uniforms. We do this for a couple reasons. And there are some sheriffs that don't follow it. It's in the administrative code, so they should follow it because it is the administrative code, but there's no teeth if you don't follow it. The idea, a couple things. Our deputies are all over the place. My deputies are going, running inmates to other jails, prisons, where everyone. We sometimes serve papers outside the county. so people identify us right away. The reason we want all the uniforms the same is we're the only law enforcement that for any reason a sheriff may request assistance from any other sheriff. Yeah. And when they make that request, whatever deputies or sheriff that come over to help, they have the full jurisdiction as if they're deputized from that county. Mm. So when we had in Logan County the tornadoes a couple years ago, I sent deputies there to help out, as did many other sheriffs. My deputies were handling calls, and the citizens weren't going, well, wait a minute, what's this guy from Wood County telling me what to do? Or why is it Wood County? They just assumed that it was a deputy of that sheriff that was handling the call or directing traffic or handling calls. Yeah. So, and we've helped here in Lucas
County. Well, you can focus on the solution for whatever's in front of you at the time.
And there's not going to be a question of, why is this guy telling me what to do? He's not even from this county. Yeah. So we should look the same, car the same, uniform the same, so that the citizens are like, wow, that's impressive. This sheriff has a lot of deputies. We had a attorney, and man, he's still able to take care of business. And we do help each other all the time. That's a saying that sheriffs do. It's a very small fraternity. 88 of us in the state, approximately 3,000 in the country. So it's a small fraternity.
Wow. What do you think, and I'll probably have to have you back because there's other questions I do have, your legacy is thus far in 21 years of service in this particular position in law enforcement beyond that. What do you think your legacy is, and what would you like for it to be?
I would like it to be that people realize that the sheriff's office is there to serve them, and we are here to work for the people. And that's something that is probably the most important and professional. Not only are we going to be serving them, I'm going to be sending them deputies that have the tools, both physical tools they need to have to do the job, but they're also going to have the training to do the job of whatever they're sent out to do. And if they can't, they're going to know where to get help to get that done.
Awesome. And what do you think your legacy is?
I ran on honesty, integrity, and leadership, so I hope people realize that they have a sheriff who is extremely honest. I watch every dollar, every penny that's spent in that office. I try to lead by example by making sure if I expect my deputies to have a clean car and the uniform exactly right, I better do the same thing here. And if I am driving down the road and someone has a flat tire, I pull over and I change that tire because I expect my deputies to do the same thing. Yeah, so
I saw that on 75 yesterday. Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
Right at the exit. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
So I probably back here, I'll stop. If there's a broken down car, I'll stop. And especially if it's cold, it's super important to do that.
Yeah, it is.
So honesty, the leadership, and integrity. Doing the right things and making sure people know that I expect all of my deputies to do the right thing at the right time, whether someone's watching or not. And that's saying every interview I have with people, we talk about honesty and integrity. I expect them to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But if they lie about the mistake, they're going to be fired.
Awesome.
Most mistake, I tell them, you can make a serious mistake here. Unless it's something really egregious, you're still going to have your job. There'll be consequences. Mm-hmm. You'll still have your job. You lie about a mistake you made, or you know that someone else did something wrong and there's
a cover,
you're going to be fired. And I've successfully fired everybody that's lied to me. I've fired more people, not because of the mistake, but because they lied. And the word is that we're not going to tolerate that.
Yeah.
You have to have a zero tolerance. You know, employees are like children. They need to know what their boundaries are.
Mm-hmm.
And you let them know that here's the line.
Yeah.
And we'll work with you. We'll train you.
Might train up somebody else that may have considered or.
Absolutely. They see their code. Wow, they lied about that and they're no longer
here.
It's going to get their attention.
Yeah. Well, we don't want anybody to lose their job.
But we don't want someone dishonest being a deputy sheriff.
I feel this way. If you are dishonest, you fired yourself.
Exactly. And I thought it was going to be difficult for me to fire people when I first started, and I have never fired a single person. They've all fired themselves.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and being so transparent and actually answering all of my questions. My goodness. I appreciate that. I really do. And I think it's important that people understand that not only are our law enforcement officers, male and female, human beings, but they're actually there to help, to protect, to serve. And if not, I'd say this, live to fight whatever it is you think is unjust. It's better to do that than to attack law enforcement. I don't care. We see a lot of that, and I'm not going to address it today in the news. It hurts my heart because I didn't know anybody, and I'm talking on a little bit, that actually took the oath that I took, and as well as yourself, that did that with the thought of just picking on people.
Correct.
Nobody. Correct. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't bad apples. You said you fired quite a few.
Every profession is going to have some bad people, absolutely.
But generally speaking, if we treat each other like human beings, yes. we can come to some type of, even if I got to put handcuffs on you, we can respect each other
yes.
and get on down the road.
Yes.
So I'm appreciative.
And my deputies, they really do care. And we have a lot of community yeah. outreach things we yes. do, whether it's our Christmas Spectacular that we do or a Christmas in July. We do a trunk or treat. We do a lot of things.
Yeah.
My deputies love it. They love giving back to the community. Yeah. It's just saying that when we look for volunteers, they line up.
And
they
it increases that spirit of service that
yes.
we all should have.
Which they all should, you know, yeah. yeah. If they're not a servant, they're on the wrong job.
Exactly. Well, we thank you for coming before I start talking some more.
Truly my honor and pleasure to be on your show. This really means a lot that I got invited on your show, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.